You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday morning, Mike McNamara for Friday edition of All Marine Radio, back in my house in All Marine Radio 1 studio, Studio 1 maybe, better way to say it. So good morning to you, hope you're having a good day, wherever you be. Hey, welcome to the All Marine Radio Tribal Headquarters. So I get home yesterday. My daughter Catherine picks me up. And I will say this, I was relatively tired. So she says, "So what's for dinner?"
What?
For whatever reason, Catherine doesn't cook very much. I said, "Yeah, Catherine, that might not be happening there, princess." She's like, "What?" She said, "Okay, let me lock you on, bro. Once a week, you feed me. That's my plan for you." I said, "Time out. Back to Truco. But being a good dad, what did I do? Made dinner. Grilled. We didn't grill. We cooked steaks. Didn't have time to grill them because Patrick was leaving. And so did that. So, but it's good to be home. It's good to be home. First of all, broadcasting is a lot easier from the studio. Every time you do it, when you're on the road, right? No, it's just, it's doable and you do it. But the expeditionary environment is not always friendly. And just in terms of getting it on, you know, getting it on the air and things like that. So, but just an awesome, I don't know how many ever days it was, almost 2 weeks of being on the road, almost 2 work weeks of being on the road. And I will tell you that, of all the cool things, the coolest thing happened, Wednesday. Yeah, the coolest thing happened Wednesday. So I record the show. I get it all ready to go Wednesday. And I'm driving up to Bethesda, East Coast time. So that means I can control my desktop computer from my phone. Pretty cool stuff. Did it yesterday from an airplane. So, so the program, when I record segments, streams from my desktop. So anyway, so I have it all rigged up. Wednesday, going up to meet Bob Nielsen for the first time. Never met Bob in person. Know him through obviously doing the program and and our friendship that has resulted from us collaborating on a bunch of stuff. So anyway, and I'm fired up. The last time I was at Walter Reed Bethesda, it was Bethesda Naval Hospital, and my son Patrick was born. Yeah, went in there. My wife Susan, Patrick would have been born on the Beltway, no doubt about it. Because I'll tell you what, we were in Quantico, but for some reason, we were not going to have the baby at Fort Belvoir, which might be, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes up the road. We were going to Bethesda. So, which sounds all right, until you figure in traffic. Susan goes into labor early on the morning of November 10th, 1989. That happens to be the day that we're going to take off for Veterans Day, which is the following day, federal holiday. Were it not for that, Patrick would have been delivered in a black Pathfinder. Not sure what that would have done to the upholstery, but it wouldn't have been good. Wonder if insurance covers that. Yeah, so that's the last time I've been there. So, and I've never been to, you know, the Walter Reed is famous, and I've got a half of an interview done with a physical therapist by the name of Adele, who worked at Walter Reed for years. And then they transferred Walter Reed. Walter Reed is a 103-year-old hospital, okay, almost like in the north end of D.C. Bethesda in the northwest corner, much bigger campus, right, more space. So what they decided to do is combine the two hospitals as part of BRAC. And a lot of people that moved did not particularly care for, you know, the move. So anyway, but she talks about the environment of the physical therapy department out Walter Reed during the wars and the miracles that you would see. And I've got to finish the second half of the interview, and then we'll go ahead and air it. It's a pretty cool interview, though. And she tells a story of, if you're an amputee, single amputee, called an amp, if you're a single amp below the knee, that's referred to as a paper cut in that ward. And, you know, if you came in as a triple amputee, you had guys in your room the day you woke up that were quadruple amputees telling you, hey, man, you know, starting tomorrow, you got to get up. You got to come down to physical therapy. Even if you sit there and watch and hang out, that's where you belong. What? Yeah, it's just a special, special place. So anyway, you've heard about it. You've read about it. So I meet Nielsen. I forget to turn on the program that I recorded, because I'm geeked about going to Walter Reed. I don't realize it till Wednesday night when I'm like, I start thinking about this show Thursday. I'm like, did I turn that on? I don't think I did. That's awesome. But I can be forgiven because I was fired up. Anyway, so I meet Nielsen, and he takes me on a bit of a tour. And then we're going to meet somebody you've heard on the program before, Pat Horan, gunshot wound to the head in Iraq, and his wife Patty. They tell a hilarious story that I'll tell briefly, and then they'll come back on, and then they can tell it. So they'll tell it better than I do. Anyway, so Bob shows me around, and we go down to the physical therapy department of Walter Reed Bethesda, and it's this incredible facility, right? So we walk in, and he's kind of showing me around. And we're watching this guy run in prosthetics for the first time. Became a double amputee. He's in the Navy. I'm not exactly sure what happened. But became a double amputee, Bob said, a year ago. He's running around the track in this physical therapy room. And he's got the biggest grin on his face, right? And he's all about it. And you're sitting there and you're just going, wow, 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 wow. Okay. And there's all kinds of other people there, right? There are male, female, amputees, other physical therapy injuries. And so he said, come over here. I want you to meet Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major is kind of on one of those balancing balls, so it's a half of like a exercise ball with a hard plastic top on the cut half, if you will. Okay, so you stand on the cut half, the hard plastic, and you got this ball underneath you, and you try to balance. So something that you do in physical therapy. So he's there. We walk over. Bob introduces me to Sergeant Major, and we're standing there talking. And so Bob says, what would you tell you if I – or I think the Sergeant Major says, Bob says, tell him a story about your gunshot wound. Sergeant Major looks at me and says, what would you tell me if – what would you say if I told you that I had a round hit off the charging handle of my M4, ricochet into my face, split my face open, and he points right under his nose – take out 7 teeth, and I want to say a third of his tongue. I looked at him and I'd tell you that you were making up stories because you wanted attention. He started laughing, and I said, there's no way. And he looked at me and he said, yep. It's a lot of surgery, but you can hardly even tell now. And so I said, what are you doing here, Sergeant Major? So, do you know that the technology that's used for dental implants, right? They put a screw in your gum, and then they screw a tooth into it. Well, the significance of the screw is that you don't need extra infrastructure in your mouth, right? Metal bridges and things like that. The other thing that's important about the screw is where you lose tooth, you lose, the bone stops growing there. And it atrophies. And that's why you'll see pictures of older people that have lost their teeth and their faces are puckered and things like that. Well, that's bone loss in your jaw. So anyway, some guy in Europe, I want to say the Netherlands, invents this surgery. They're now using it on amputees. What happens is they go back in, they kind of do a fresh cut of your bone, and then they screw an adapter into your bone. And then you got to stay off it, I want to say, for a couple months so the bone begins to grow into the adapter. Right? So the bone begins to close around it. Now, I didn't really know this, but you may. That, yeah, how geeked up am I about that visit? And let me tell you, and there was nothing but cool stuff that happened. Hanging out with my grandson, hanging out with my son and daughter-in-law, seeing some of my best friends. Some I knew were going to Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Some were not. Going to Granbury. Good on top of 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 great. Yeah. Bethesda Walter Reed. Unbelievable. So, yeah, you screw this thing in, and then the bone begins to grow around it. And then you don't need that sleeve that causes so much irritation and the whole thing about slippage and whatnot. Your prosthetic leg then gets an adapter, and boom, it gets clamped to your bone. Now, osteoporosis is an issue for amputees. This I did not know. And so that goes away because the bone gets strengthened because the bone now gets used as opposed to not being used. There is no muscle tension anymore. So they were talking to me about all the benefits. And you're standing there watching them, you're like, holy shit, man, that's awesome. That kind of technology. So then Nielsen goes, come here, I want you to meet somebody. So we walk to the kind of the other end of the room, and there's a guy doing physical therapy with a therapist. Like he's squeezing, he's pushing with his arms. He's squeezing and pushing with his arms. And, so we're standing there and Bob goes to interrupt him. He said, hold on, Bob. So we stand there and talk for a minute. And then he looks up, he said, what's up? He goes, I want you to meet a friend of mine. So he introduces me. I think his name is John. And, as we walked up, he said, John is a quadruple amputee. He received a double arm transplant. I said, what? He said, yeah, he received a double arm transplant. And I don't know if you remember a few months ago, but we talked about a Marine who received a, what would it be, a pelvis to include sex organs in a transplant operation, the first of its kind. They didn't release his name, but we did a little segment on it, and I think I put the picture up of what area that they transplanted, and then talk about quotes, you know, talk about not feeling like a man when you can't stand up and go to the bathroom. Every time you go to the bathroom, you have to sit. You know, now I can do that. And I had read in that article that that nerves regenerate at about an inch a month. So when Bob told me about it, that popped into my head. And I was like, holy shit. And so he stops and we start talking. He was a machine gunner with the 3rd Battalion 1st Marines, and he lost his limbs. He was initially wounded in Iraq, and then subsequently wounded where he lost his limbs in Afghanistan. And the surgery you're looking at, you're like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so, you know, talk about, you know, he wants to be a chef, and the decision to have the surgery. You know, because, you know, prosthetics, the advancements in prosthetics are amazing. When you go down the road of you're going to have your arms transplanted, both of them, right? So you're going to get somebody else's arms transplanted. You're like, oh, my God, man. So, but it's going to take you how many years to make them work? And you're sitting there looking at it going, it's amazing. It's unbelievable what goes on, the magic. It's not magic because it's hard. It's hard work. But the things that go on. So then we walk around this corner and we go to the table. We sit down. I'm introduced to a soldier that had lost both of his arms. When, if you can imagine the size of this IED, the MRAP he was riding was blown into the air, okay, and it flips over. Now, MRAPs are huge, right? They're huge armored vehicles, the bottom of which is angled, right, like the hull of a ship, kind of down to in a V, to channel the blast away. To flip one of those, I don't know how much explosive you would have to have. It would be an awful lot, though. So he was up in the turret, and I think, however, he lost his arms. By way the vehicle came down, and he loses both arms. He had got a double arm transplant, and they happened to both be there at the same time. So I sat down and talked to him about the decision to do it, and he said, "Well, I had to wait a year because I can't remember what he said he was doing, but he broke his shoulder up, and they had to get his shoulder healed before he could." He could go ahead and have the surgery, and so he had to wait another year that turned into a year and a half or something like that. But you're sitting there and you're watching them, you know, manipulate, do physical therapy with these transplanted limbs. It's like, holy shit. This is awesome. I mean, talk about things that make you feel good when you see people's lives that have been so badly ruptured by injuries in combat. When you see them being able to, some of that restored in a way that we probably never thought it could be. Unbelievable. And the same group is doing all these surgeries. They are from, I want to say they're from Johns Hopkins in Maryland. And so, awesome stuff. So we go and meet, the funny part of the story is, we go and meet Pat and Patty Horan, who they've been on the program before. Pat was a, first lieutenant, striker brigade guy, prior enlisted, He's in, I think he's on his first deployment as a platoon commander to Iraq, and moving around on top of houses. Somebody shoots around. It's essentially missing him. It hits his chin strap and explodes, and then that, it was redirected by his, you know, by the metal on your chin strap near your ear, and it gets directed into his head. So, Pat's been on the program before, and he's going to come back on again. He wants to talk about TBI epilepsy and make people aware about it. So we'll have Pat on. So we're having lunch. He's got a dog named Wilson, who's pretty cool. Service dogs, if you've never been around them, are pretty cool. They just go and they hang out and they show, and you know, they hang out with their whoever they're working for, and it's pretty cool. So anyhow, Wilson's there, Pat's there. Patty had to go do something and she shows up. So Patty is Pat's wife. How about that, Pat and Patty? So Pat had messaged me in the morning and he said, "Hey, I've got a 3D model of my skull. Do you want to see it?" I said, "Yeah, of course I want to see it." So he brings it, and so we're all sitting there talking, laughing, having a good time. You know, and again, just sitting there, all of a sudden another Marine shows up. "Hey, what's up?" He's a major. He's a high amputee that was able to stay on active duty, but now he's decided he's going to turn the page and go do something else. So sitting and talking to him, just all these awesome stories from our tribe, right? So now back to the skull, right? So Pat pulls it out, sitting on the table, and then I think Bob says, "Did you tell Matt the story about when it got dropped?" Patty's like, "Ugh." So Pat says, "Look, I'm attached to it. It's my skull. Like, it's my, I'm attached to it. Like the cleaning lady, like when she cleaned up my office and she was dusting and stuff, and she put like a baseball hat or something on it so she could clean." He said, "I didn't like that." He said, "Some people like put a light in it and candy, and if they have one, guys I know, and on Halloween," he said, "I don't do that." He said, "For whatever reason, I'm attached to my skull." All right, so now Pat and Patty go do some public event, and Patty's carrying the skull. They're leaving. Patty drops the skull. That's right. And the thing shatters. Patty's like, she said, I need to have her tell the story because it's funny. Pat said, he said, I looked, he said, I couldn't even talk. Because, you know, he's a victim of the TBI. Sometimes Pat will search for words, you know. I'm sure he finds it frustrating, and he'll say, you know, what's the word? And he'll describe it, just say this. He says, yes. But anyway, he said, I was mad I couldn't talk. And Patty says, I knew that the divorce papers were coming. She said, and I felt horrible. I dropped his brain. And I dropped his skull. But it turns out good. I said, so where did you get this? Is this like they made a second one? It's essentially 3D manufacturing, right? And so she says, no. We took all the pieces, and we have a friend out of the Navy, and he glued the whole thing back together. I said, get out of town. She said, no. So I had an awesome visit with them. My thanks to Bob for Nielsen for setting it up. And just a word about Bob. Bob has been going to Walter Reed Bethesda for a long, long, long time. And the reason he goes there is to help people put their lives back together. Lives shattered by war, or maybe a motorcycle accident. But all of a sudden, you're a single amputee, you're a double amputee, you're a victim of a traumatic brain injury, and now your life is not going to go down the path that you thought it would go down. It's going to go down a different path. And all of a sudden, here's this guy named Nielsen. He's a Vietnam veteran, one of those crazy Vietnam guys that we all know and love. And here he's talking about, through his 100 Entrepreneurs Project, hey, man, why don't you start a construction company? What? Yeah, why don't you start a construction company? Why don't you get in this construction business? And so Bob is one of these, and I hate to call him an angel, but they're angel people. I got to find another word, because angel just so untribal-like. It's got to be more macho. He's a medicine man. That's a little cooler than angel. So, yeah, Nielsen's a medicine man. I mean, if you can imagine wondering how you're going to provide for your family, what's going to happen to me? What about my dreams? What about this? What about that? And all of a sudden, this dude walks in and he starts talking his shit to you. And you're looking at him going, who is this dude? Who is this dude? How did he get into my room? And he's been doing that for a long time. It's cool as hell. And it's now part of his therapy. Truth be told, it's now part of his therapy. Because he was doing that, he saw the value in this. We're going to have a forum to talk about it on a regular basis, to talk about these issues, to bring them in more easily into the public realm, to help more people. Now, I will tell you this. We have a project has come out of it, and I messaged him yesterday. Patty Horan talked about, Pat Horan is only Philip Brown now because of his wife. Because when you have a traumatic brain injury, every one of them is different, right? So every treatment, every therapy, every treatment protocol is different. So when Patty found out what his specific issues were, she flew around the country to find the hospitals that would give Pat the best care so that he could get back his life. And then she came back to the Army and said, can you provide this? And they said no. And so, and then she said, why am I asking you to care, to give my husband the best care that you can give him? Why am I asking for that? Why am I researching that? Well, we have limited assets here. Now, this is active duty. You're not even dealing with the VA yet. So they go to the University of Chicago for his first phase, and they go around the country. Yeah. In fact, Horan, Horan. If you do a search in the podcast thing, you'll hear Pat and Patty. So here's the project. The project is, there you go, living with a traumatic brain injury. Pat Horan, Captain, U.S. Army, and Patty Horan, his better half, in spite of dropping the brain. It's in three parts. Living today, finding a purpose in life. It's in three parts. So first part is Pat's career, how he got wounded, how Patty gets notified. Part two is rehab. Patty talks about the pressure of researching and choosing facilities for follow-on rehab. Yeah, she did that. The Army didn't do that for her. Yeah, you hear that? You're like, what? What the hell? And then the third part is living today, finding a purpose in life, and the frustrations of not being able to read and write. And Pat talks about that. But anyway, so this is me talking now. So I'm talking to Patty, and I said, wait a minute. When you got here, there was no indoctrination. There was no class that the military put on for spouses, men and women, who were going to go down this road on what are disability classifications? What is the VA? When are they going to enter into this? What are you going to get from active duty? There was none of that? She said, no. No. Never. I said, come on, that's too easy a fix. Why don't we do it? Do we not want to do it? And so then, so it was interesting. So the guy who I told you that I met, who's on active duty, the major who's got a high leg amputation, single leg amputation, but it's high near his hip. So he's sitting to my left, Patty's sitting to my right, and they were just there. This Marine's there. They're doing something else. We just struck up a conversation, and so they start talking about, you know, all disabilities not the same, all disability ratings aren't the same. And I don't know. I have no idea what they're talking about because I don't know that language. And so Patty says, I do, because I had to learn it. Yeah, if your disability rating is going to be different if you're a quadriplegic. Your disability rating is going to be different if you're an amputee. Different ratings, different amounts, blah, 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 blah. Really? I didn't know that. She said, yeah. So, anyway, so my point is, Almarin Radio, force for good, man. Force for good. I don't know what we call it, but the NDOT class. So, we have friends in high places, and that needs to happen. I mean, in addition to all the other things you deal with, you shouldn't have to learn that shit on your own. And again, I understand that your life just turned upside down. But these are decisions that will affect the rest of your life. So to me, a couple things. One, you know, it might be overwhelming to sit in a class when you've got all these things going through your head. Might be too early. But you can certainly put things on DVD. You can certainly put information on in a package, in a binder, and give that to them. You may not be able to do this today, okay? But we want to introduce you to the subject matter. Every one of these classes is complete in that binder, okay? And the other thing we're going to do is we have a mentor program. Yeah, this went bombing through my head the other night. We have a mentor program where we are going to assign you a mentor, somebody, a woman who's already been through this, who can help you. And if you don't hit it off with her, we'll you know, there's a list of them, kind of like in my mind, kind of like Veterati. Yeah, where are you going? Or if, for instance, so what kind of mentor would you choose? Well, if your husband had a post-traumatic brain injury, a gunshot wound, who would you look for? You'd look for Patty Horan. You imagine that, the relief when all of a sudden you cross paths with Patty Horan? Yeah, good God. So you don't have to walk down that path alone. You have somebody there to guide you. So interesting, interesting, interesting stuff. So awesome, 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 awesome trip. Yeah. I'm going to talk to the chef about this, who's going to join us here in about 26 minutes. And we're going to talk about Asian sub or something like that. But my daughter-in-law crushed it, Susie. Yeah, I couldn't. I have this wheat issue in me now that I've developed in my life. Yeah, it sucks. I used to eat everything, like a goat, garbage can, and I can't anymore. I have allergic reactions to it, and so I don't. So Susie crushed it, man. She made pizza out of, I don't know what she made the crust out of. Homemade pizza. I could even eat it. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. So, yeah, the trip was awesome. And that was off after you heard how much fun we had down in North Carolina. So, yeah, one of my buddies down there is getting promoted to Colonel today, Ted Greeley. So congratulations to Angry Ted. He getting promoted today. General Fernax actually drove up to Washington D.C. to do the promotion. So just cool stuff. And going to Bethesda, it was awesome, awesome, awesome. So Whitney Houston's going to sing the national anthem this morning, as she does on Friday. Good morning to you. It's good to be home. Jack and Joe said, "Hey." Nice. And this is dedicated to Bob Nielsen and the Horans and that major, whose name I forgot, and his wife, who are going to start another phase of their lives. So my trip to Walter Reed, Bethesda National Military Medical Center, awesome. Awesome. And I'll tell you what, I would tell you if I wouldn't be honest with you, I didn't say this, and I'm looking at Charles Krauthammer's quote this quote right here.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
So honestly and bluntly, as I was there, I was looking at these guys dealing with transplanted arms, and one of them, John, with no legs. And I thought, look, if they can do this, we can't get our hands around post-traumatic stress. We can't do post-combat mental health better. Yeah, we can. Shit, yeah, we can. All right? Shit, yeah, we can. So, that thought was rolling through my head. So, this dedicated Bob, the major, his wife, Pat and Patty, John, and then the soldiers that I met that was doing physical therapy, and all the therapists were, I mean, really cool people. You can see why they do, because only half of what they do is the physical part. The other part is their interpersonal skills and making it good. So, this is dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident to thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine? Were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I tried to go see Jeremiah Workman. He wasn't at his desk, though. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what time of the day it was, but I think he was gone. I think he was gone. Yeah, so when I was in Quantico, that's where he works. I went looking for the VA office. Anyway, time for us to check the current temperatures around Marineland. Currently, 85 degrees in Quantico under sunny skies. 86 at Camp Lejeune under those same sunny skies. No weather warning, so that's nice. Partly cloudy and 80 in Granbury, Texas. Beautiful Granbury, Texas. Yeah, Gunner picked a beautiful city. 66 in Montana. Out in 29 Palms, partly cloudy early in the day. 81 degrees. Camp Pendleton is sunny and 72. Okinawa, Japan is dark, cloudy, and 84. Helmand Province is dark and 102. Yeah, try that one on. Try that one on and see how it fits. Costa Mesa, California, Newport Beach area of Southern California, 72 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Now, I'll tell you, got home yesterday, got off the plane, go outside the terminal. After you know what part of flying I hate? After you pull up to the gate and doors open up, and then you sit there for another 20 minutes before they can go ahead and you can stand up and grab your bag. Then once you stand up, the people that like don't get their shit ready before like a couple rows before it comes to them. Then you got to wait for that jackass to stand up and then go about his way and grab his bags and stuff like that. Unbelievable. Then you have the other thing that's, I will say, more amusing and a little bit dangerous is you have women, some of them not very strong, trying to pull suitcases out of overheads, and sometimes they go like in unexpected directions. I'll leave it at that. Like, whoa, hey, come here, let me help you with that. Thank you. There should be a service here. Anyway, there's a beach hazard statement in Southern California. But walked outside and the sky looks weird. Kind of a yellow tint to it. And it's the, and you can't smell the smoke, but it's from the fires in Northern California. And it covered Southern California yesterday. And I assume it'll do it again today. That's how much smoke is in the air and how big the fires are. All day. So there's just like this yellowish, kind of yellowish gray tint to the clouds. But you can't smell the smoke. But you look up in the sky, you can see the smoke. So, again, I think the state of California is going to be, look, sometimes Mother Nature flexes her muscles. But a lot has been done to hamstring communities by the state in terms of their ability to mitigate those fires. And so it'll be interesting in the aftermath when all this is done to see what happens. All right. There's a bunch of interesting news today. Somebody who's never spoken to the media, that's been prominent in the Marine Corps, has actually spoken for the first time. So I want to talk about that. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. All Marine Radio, kind of a long open. That's right, kind of a long open. But it was necessary. Here on a Friday, the chef will join me he joins me about 8:05. So in about 19 minutes. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next from Studio One in Southern California. Nice to be home. More of that next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Some news headlines. Now, notable in this headline is that the first female infantry officer has never done an interview in her career. And by all accounts, she's pretty good at what she does. So, headline, Marine Corps Times. Meet the first female Marine to graduate IOC and lead an infantry platoon. Story by somebody named Andrea Scott. I don't know who Andrea Scott is. Let me find out. Oh, Andrea Scott is editor of Marine Corps Times. You don't see her byline very much. Whoa, that's why. But it's not really an interview. So, anyway. A female infantry officer made history in September of 2017 when she became the first woman to graduate from the Marine Corps' backbreaking infantry officer course. Now, she's the first and only female leading an infantry platoon in 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, Echo Company, no less, currently serving in Northern Australia, according to the New York Times. The Corps has gone to great lengths to keep the identity of the Marine private, but now her name has been released. Her name is Lieutenant Marina A. Hierl, H-I-E-R-L. She's one of four platoon commanders in Echo Company. When it says the Times, I believe they're referring to the New York Times. That would be correct. She's quoted in the story in a couple places. The story in the New York Times says the Marines didn't think women belonged in the infantry. She's proving them wrong. And the story is by Thomas Gibbons Neff, a former Marine. Who talks about who she is, what she does. There's some pretty cool pictures in the New York Times story. Talk to the company commander. Talk to another captain. Lieutenant, this is the New York Times story. She grew up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, worked on a horse farm throughout high school. Before graduating, she said she knew little about the military but opted for the Marines because after meeting with a recruiter from the Marine Corps, she thought it sounded good. Quote, I wanted to do something important with my life, she said. I wanted to be a part of a group that would be willing to die for each other. But her recruiter advised her to go to college first, steering her towards the Marine Corps officer ranks. In 2013, Lieutenant Hierls, H-I-E-R-L, how do you pronounce that? Hierl? Lieutenant Hierl? Sophomore year at the University of Southern California. Whoa. Let me tell you, you don't get into USC if you're a slouch. So, obviously, an impressive woman. Leon Panetta, then the Secretary of Defense, announced that women would no longer be excluded from combat roles in the military. The moment remains vivid in her memory, she said. It had not occurred to her that her gender would keep her from leading Marines in war. Quote, I wanted to lead a platoon, she said. I didn't think there was anything better than the Marine, anything better in the Marine Corps that I could do. Shows pictures of her with her Marines issuing an order over a train model. Normal stuff, right? Normal stuff. Lieutenant Harrell has avoided publicity and is reluctant to talk about herself. The training mission in Australia, observed by the New York Times, was the first time that a journalist has embedded with a Marine infantry unit led by a woman. But she repeatedly sidestepped interviews and spoke sparingly for the article, insisting that she instead needed to focus on her job and on the Marines under her command. But she did say that she wants to be seen by the Marines in her platoon as a leader, not as a trailblazer because of her gender. Let me just tell you this. I don't know this woman. I would love to interview her at some point. But I will say this. The way she's handled this has done nothing but earn her respect from other Marines in the Marine Corps. The fact that she didn't, as soon as she made it through IOC, hold a big press conference and the media tour and all that, I think everybody went, what's that about? The fact that I know people that evaluated her company and said that she's good. She's good. Anyway, interesting article. But again, the way she's handled herself to include this, she doesn't seek to separate herself from the Marines. That she leads, and good on her. Good on her. Yeah, I'm sure at some point she will go ahead and use her accomplishments to look at other women and say, hey, you can do it. Those barriers, right? Screw those barriers. All right, so that interesting article. And again, the Marine Corps Times article simply extracts from the New York Times article. So, and it's not clear because they say the Times article is here. It doesn't say the New York Times. So anyway, a little bit confusing. And a shitty little headline, massive search and rescue operation underway for the 13th MU, by the 13th MU as a Marine was ported overboard from the USS Essex. Normally, those don't turn out too well. However, the last two times it's been done, they found the sailor hiding in the ship. So keep our fingers crossed that it's something like that. The Marine Corps rotates commander for the Marine Raiders. Major General Daniel Y-O-O takes over Friday as head of Marine Corps Special Operations Command. There's one other story they want to talk about. After a brief respite, bothers me because there's a little bit of personal history involved in this. You heard a couple weeks ago a guy named Ross Pape come on the program. His brother was killed, and when his backup chute didn't open, his primary chute, they were doing static line night jump, right? Normandy jump, stand up, buckle up, shuffle to the door, that one. And the strap was not rigged to his chute. It did not open. He went to open his backup. And the backup, I did not know this, malfunctioned at a very, very high rate. Headline, after a brief respite, special operations parachute deaths are up this year. Come on, man. Are you kidding? Following a record number of special operations airborne-related deaths in 2015, the military services saw a sharp drop from 5 down to 1 in both 2016 and 2017. But so far in 2018, the number has crept back up to 2, both seasoned senior NCOs with dozens of jumps in their logs. Yeah. The Army didn't initially announce the July 1st death of Sergeant Major Christopher Nelms, likely because he was serving with the Elite Delta Force organization. But he is the second Army Sergeant Major to die in a parachute accident this year. The other one was Sergeant Major Samuel McAllister of the 75th Ranger Regiment. He died in January after another freefall accident in Arizona. It's like, come on, man. What the hell? Early bird real quick. Number one, Pentagon lays groundwork for the Space Force to blast off in 2020. Yeah, we'll go into that next week. For the first time in its history, domestic violence is a crime under military law. Long time coming, I might add. Long time coming. Number three, Pentagon to spend nearly $5 million on the Marine Corps' mission to the Philippines. And what the Marine Corps is down there doing is supporting the Philippine military in hunting down ISIS. So, Pentagon spending some money on that. And number five, China and Russia prepare for security talks as pressure from the U.S. grows. Let me just tell you, they hate each other. Two dictatorships, they may act like they're going to play together. It will never happen. It's just bullshit. Yeah. There's kind of an interesting, there's a couple interesting stories about overseas operations, and then there's something called Black Hat that they started doing in Early Bird. Two interesting headlines under overseas operations. U.S. launches airstrikes as Taliban attack an Afghan city. Taliban tried to ball up and roll in a provincial capital, but airstrikes and quick reaction forces put an end to that. Interesting. You know, but again, the city's named Ghazni. So, Taliban looking for media headlines. And then the other story, Afghan forces target Al-Qaeda commanders in Helmand and Nangarhar. The, Al-Qaeda was not a big deal in 2010. It is now. All right, Black Hat, right? New research, two headlines I'll read to you. New research says ZTE phones could be hacked. Okay, ZTE is a Chinese company, right? The Chinese telecommunication firm ZTE have manufacturing vulnerabilities that allow them to allow their phones to be taken over. Nice. And then this is another really kind of interesting article. You know, we read so much about cyber warfare, blah, 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 blah. How hackers can defeat cyber deception methods. So when you're going to intrude, one of the things that they try to do is mask who's doing the intruding. Okay? Effective cyber deception requires believability and diversity of information. Okay? So as you go through different paths, it all should be believable. But if you're not actually doing that, then it's got to be replicated somehow. But closely inspecting data can defeat any spoofing attempt. So that's nice to hear, right? But again, some interesting stuff. If you read, if you scroll through the early bird, that section is I haven't seen it before. So again, devoted to cyber warfare. Speaking of cyber warfare, one more story I want to talk about. Headlines, right? After the Brits presented intelligence evidence to the United States about the nerve gas death of a British citizen and the attempted poisoning of two Russian expats living in England, the United States, because of the laws we have relative to chemical warfare, you know, takes action by putting sanctions on Russia. That whole Helsinki thing has not worked out very well for Vladimir Putin. So anyway, Russia says that this is a form of warfare against Russia and that they will not stand for this. This economic warfare. So wait a minute. What about the cyber attacks that the ongoing cyber operations that you conduct against the United States inside of the United States? What would you call that? Oh, that's right. You're not doing those. You're not doing those. Somebody else is doing those. Russia's so bullshit. China's right behind them, too. Right. Dictatorship? No bueno. All right. We're going to take a break. But Russia, what a joke. Anywho, all right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, the Almarin Radio head chef is going to join us. So, and we're going to talk about Asian chicken sandwiches. But I'm going to ask him about healthy eating, like healthy clean eating, like I have to do now, and get his thoughts on that. So don't touch that dial. Second hour coming at you next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.